The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume in our studies this morning, Genesis chapter 34. We will pick up the exegesis verses 20 through 23. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that's designed for the believer priest to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine as it's disseminated through the proper spiritual gift, that is the gift of pastor-teacher. Being in fellowship is imperative in regards to study to show ourselves approved in this respect. And obviously that means isolation of the STA, which is made possible through the rebound technique. So therefore, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity once again this morning to rebound if necessary. Get yourself mentally, spiritually, emotionally prepared in order to approach God's Word once again this morning so that we can handle the contingencies that's thrown at us in regards to our Christian way of life, that which is designed to advance us spiritually, to maximize in regards to our divine good production in SG3, and to witness to those around us in the cosmos that otherwise are ignorant and blind with respect to God's plan for their lives. So with that in mind, we'll start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the truth once again this morning to the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jacob's sons have made it clear that the only way that they will consider consenting to Dinah being Shechem's wife is that all the males under Hamor's rule in the city of Shechem engage in the ritual of circumcision. All males must be circumcised. This sounds plausible in regards to Hamor and Shechem, and that means that the obstacle or the challenge that's now set before Hamor in wanting to pursue this avenue is to sell all the males of Shechem in regards to having their foreskin cut off. That in and of itself you might think would be fairly difficult in regards to getting people to engage in this, but Hamor develops as it subtly becomes clear. It's not explicit, but it's there. You can see his mode of thinking, and the plan that he comes up with in order to try to sell this to all those of Shechem is to present to them an icon, one who has engaged in this ritual to be an example that is endurable, and also to, if you will, be one that others might look up to in regards to this new religious practice that they're being asked to engage in. And the best candidate for that is Hamor's impetuous son, Shechem, who's thinking with the wrong brain in regards to his life. And he immediately jumps at the chance to be the initiate in regards to this ritual of circumcision. And he is first to be circumcised in that respect. And he is heralded, if you will, to be a idol to others to emulate in regards to this new religious practice that's incorporated into their pagan religious practices, to then be presented to the male population in that vein as encouragement and exhortation, if you will, an example for them to follow them in practice in that respect. So Shechem has been circumcised, and now it's up to them to sell the male population. And so verses 20 through 23 here, we have the sales pitch that is presented to these men in this regard. All right, let's take a look at the language here. Verse 20, so Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, you have the wow consecutive, then the verb to come, cow and perfect third matching a singular bow, B-O. Hamor, proper noun, wow conjunction, proper noun Shechem, again related to as his son. This emphasizing again that Hamor is the ultimate authority. He is the planner of this thing, if you will, in regards to how to try to sell this, as he sees dollar signs and additional power as potential alignment with Jacob's family. His son, our noun for son, common masculine singular constructed, third masculine singular suffix ben, B-E-N, to the gate of their city, preposition L, E-L. Gate is your common masculine singular construct, sha'ar, S-H-A-A-R. City, with the third masculine plural suffix, is a common feminine singular noun, ear, I-Y-R. And spoke, vowel consecutive, our verb to speak here is the verb dabar in the PL, imperfect third masculine plural, D-A-B-A-R, to the men, preposition L, repeated, E-L, our noun for men, common masculine plural construct, ish, I-S-H, other city, again, ear, repeated, common feminine singular struck with the third masculine plural suffix, their city, Hamor and Shechem city, saying is your cal infinity with the preceded with the preposition lamed, amar, A-M-A-R. Verse 21, then he lays it on them. Verse 21, the sales pitch, part of it, first half, these men are friendly with us. These men is your definite article. Follow with your noun, ish, again, common masculine plural absolute. Followed with the definite article and the adjective, both plural, ella, E-L-L-E-H. The men, these men, are friendly. Friendly is your adjective, masculine plural absolute, shalem, S-H-A-L-E-M. Peaceful, friendly. They themselves, emphatic, here's a preposition or the pronoun, third masculine plural, him, H-E-M, with us, in conjoining with the Shechemites, preposition with the first common plural suffix, eth, E-T-H. Therefore, let them live in the land and trade in it. A wow conjunction. Our verb to live, dwell, reside is a cal imperfect third masculine plural here in the Jesse form. Hence, let them dwell. Yashav, Y-A-S-H-A-B. In the land, preposition bet, definite article, noun for land, common feminine singular absolute, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And trade in it, wow conjunction. Our verb to trade, go about and trade, is a cow perfect third masculine plural. Again, the Jesse form, let them trade. Sakar, S-A-C-H-A-R. In it, your sign of direct object with the third feminine singular suffix. For behold, the land is large enough for them. You have the wow conjunction. definite article are noun for land again, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then you had the interjectory particle, behold, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. And the land, behold, is large enough. You had the first, the adjective, feminine singular, construct, rakav, R-A-C-H-A-B. That means literally wide or open. Then you had the common feminine dual absolute noun, our word for hand, yad, Y-A-D, is wide in span, if you will, like a hand span, in part. So large enough is translated. For them, you have the preposition lamed, with the common masculine plural construct, third masculine plural suffix, our word for face, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Before their presence, for them. Let us take your daughters in marriage and give our daughters to them. Sign of direct object. Then our noun for daughter, common feminine plural construct, third masculine plural suffix, bath, B-A-T-H. Their daughters we will take, literally in the Hebrew, cow, imperfect first common plural, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. For us, preposition lamed with the first common plural suffix. Then you have the preposition lamed repeated. Followed with the common feminine plural absolute, our noun for wives or women. Ideas in marriage here, ishishah, I-S-H-S-H-A-H, as wives or for marriage. Sign a direct object and give our daughters to them. Again, daughters repeated here as the object of the verb to give. Common feminine plural construct, first common plural suffix, bath. Then our verb to give is Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, or Nathan. Cow, imperfect first common plural. To them, preposition lama with third masculine plural suffix. And then, verse 22, he throws in the caveat, the requirement. Only on this condition will the men consent to us to live with us, to become one people. You have the adverb ak, A-K, only. Only or surely. Followed with the preposition bet and the adjective feminine singular zoth, in such a way, in such condition, is the idea z-o-t-h. Our verb to consent here, to agree, is a nephal, imperfect third masculine plural, uth, u-t-h. Will they agree or consent to us, preposition lamed, first common plural suffix. The men, definite article, are noun ish, I-S-H, common masculine plural absolute. To become one people. This is the alignment that is being proposed here. To become is your cal infinitive construct following the preposition lamed, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. To become literally as a people, one, you have the preposition lamed, followed with our noun for people, common masculine singular absolute, am, A-M. One is your adjective feminine singular absolute, akad, A-C-H-A-D. That every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. First you have the verb to be circumcised here as a nifal infinitive following the preposition bet in the construct form mul, our word to circumcise, M-U-L, to be circumcised for us, preposition lamed, first common plural suffix. The Hebrew sounds awkward in the English. that we get the idea. Then you have every male in the word order. Common masculine singular construct, Cole, every, K-O-L. Male is your common masculine singular absolute, Sakar, C-A-K-A-R. As they are circumcised, you have preposition kaf, as or like. Then a relative, followed with the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. As like whom, they themselves is the literal here. They themselves, the emphatic use of the pronoun, third masculine plural, again, him, H-E-M. Have been circumcised is the niphal form. Again, here as a participle, masculine plural, obviously they stay circumcised once circumcised. Again, mul, M-U-L. Then in verse 23, he tries to throw a little icing on the cake for them here. Will not their livestock and their property and all their animals be ours? So he's planting this idea in their minds. You have first our noun for cattle or livestock is the common masculine plural construct, the third masculine plural suffix, mikneh, M-I-Q-E-N-E-H. Third masculine plural suffix, their cattle, livestock. And their property. You had a wow conjunction. Common masculine singular construct noun, third masculine plural suffix, our word for wealth or property, Kinean, Kinean, Q-I-N-E-Y-A-N, and all their animals. A wow conjunction, all or each of. Common masculine plural construct again are noun kol, K-O-L. Animals, beasts, as it may be translated, common feminine singular construct, third masculine plural suffix, behemah, B-E-H-E-M-A-H. Their beasts are animals. And then you had the interrogative particle ha, followed with the negative lo, H-A, plus L-O, hence will not, with the question mark, be for us themselves. Preposition lamed with the first common plural suffix, and then our pronoun him repeated third masculine plural. Then the final exhortation, if you will, only let us consent to them and they will live with us. Again, our adverb ak, ak, then our verb consent, again, is a niphal, imperfect first common plural, cohortative, here more forceful, imperatival force attached to it. Let us agree, uth, U-T-H, to them, preposition lama, third masculine plural suffix, vowel conjunction, our verb to reside or live again, yashab, Y-A-S-H-A-B, cal, imperfect third masculine plural. And then the final preposition, eth, with the first common plural suffix, with us, eth. Rereading the verses here. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, 21, these men are friendly with us. Peaceful. Therefore, let them live in the land and trade in it, for behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters in marriage and give our daughters to them. Verse 22, only on this condition or in this way will the men consent to us to live with us, to become one people, that every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Verse 23, will not their livestock and their property and all their animals be ours? Only let us consent to them and they will live with us. The question being essentially rhetorical, anticipating a yes answer. All right, analysis of verses 20 through 23. One, having been circumcised, Shechem goes with his father Hamor to address the Shechemite males at the gate of their city. Shaar Ir. So again, it's important to recognize the events as they occur chronologically. First, Shechem must be circumcised. He's already been circumcised. Now they're going to go address the men of the city. Two, it is at the city gate that citizens congregated and business was conducted. We've seen that already in Genesis. The two angels going to Sodom at city gate, city square, etc. That is the downtown business area, if you will, is where they, for defense, they would build walls around the city and have a primary gate for entrance, entrance and exit. And there, obviously, everybody is set up for meetings, whether it's civil or business. So that's where they head to. Obviously, that's where they're going to find everybody. So three, now the singular person of the verb came, bo, precedes the name Hamor in the Hebrew grammar, alluding to the fact that Hamor is in charge of the situation. This is, to me, this is important to get the right feel for this whole thing, to see exactly what's going on. It's not just flippant action on Shechem's part to immediately be circumcised. No, Hamor has seen the possibility for himself in regards to the proposal that if he can sell the men of his city, of his region, on this idea of ritual, and this alignment can come about in regards to him and Jacob's family, obviously he will, in his own mind and thinking, be absorbing the wealth of Jacob and their family, their population, etc. He sees dollar signs, economic prosperity for the region, for the rest of the people in this regards, and additional power, if you will, of numbers of whom he is the ruler of the land would be ruling over. And so he is the, if you will, the brains behind trying to sell this whole situation in regards to the men of Shechem. And he turns to his son, Shechem, and has the namesake of the city, and he says, all right, if you're willing to be circumcised, then we'll go through with this, and I'll utilize you. We'll set you up as an icon, the initiate in regards to this new religious practice, and we'll present you before the city as those who is the heir to the throne of others following your example, and see if we can sell them with this package deal in that regards, and what I will lay out to them. And he's the ultimate authority. Because of that, he obviously is implicated in regards to this whole rape ordeal, in that he is in collusion, direct collusion with his son. He's dismissing the crime in and of itself, trying to buy his way out of it to begin with. And because he is an accessory after the fact, he too is guilty in that vein in regards to this whole situation. But the language has made it clear. It is repetitively emphasized that Shechem is Hamor's son, to emphasize his role as the authority in this whole situation. And therefore, he represents an abuse of authority on the end of children, etc., not able to say no to his son, and trying to manipulate others in regards to getting his way. And he has his own SGA grid, his monetary grid that's driving him in regards to his situation, as Shechem has his phallic lust grid to drive him in doing what he's doing. So Hamor is in charge of this situation. And so therefore, obviously, you would expect as the Prince of the Land, he would take the microphone, he would take the stage in order to present the sales idea in regards to this new ritual. So four, he will give the speech to the men. Having Shechem at his side for validation and as example of royal approval for the needed new ritual appearing less than an excruciating procedure. See, it makes sense to have Shechem. Yeah, he's already been circumcised. You know, this doesn't sound too appetizing, if you will, to men to be messing with that region of their body. See? And to me, if you're able to sell people on something like this, then you are a politician indeed. You are a salesman deluxe. And he's come up a way with to do this. And it's interesting to see how intertwined the STA is in regards to his involvement in all this. The Fetic Lust, Greed of Shechem, the power, monetary greed, lust in regards to Hamor, the religious trend that is basically accompanies the entire society in their pagan idolatry. And to add this new ritual in regards to this thing. And obviously associated with it is his promises here that are laid out, implied by Hamor, of sexual prosperity for everyone, as well as monetary prosperity, the same idea that he was trying to sell Jacob's sons otherwise. So all this is Hamor. You can see his brains working and how he is utilizing the STA of others, their inclinations, their propensities, following his own STA trend to try to connive them into falling for this idea and proposal that he has. Now, obviously, the whole time they're being deceived. So all this is in view here. And he utilizes his son, as the verses, the text makes clear, the ordeal surgery of circumcision. While obviously there would be some pain initially, it is not pain that is not otherwise able to be born up in regards to the individual, and it's not until after some 3 days that the real pain sets in regards to this particular procedure, as it's done on an adult male. And so all this comes into play. And Shechem's been circumcised, but here he is with his father presenting to these men this idea, this new ritual. He seems to be doing fine. It's no big deal. Even my son has undergone this, see. And he's being set up. He's being glorified as a new icon, an idol, if you will, in regards to initiating this new ritual into the kingdom. And this is how religiosity is able to obviously often become a part of the civil rule and things of this nature. You know, Roman Catholicism, they utilize the same ideas, see. Introducing religious ideas and trying to manipulate and control governments and things of this nature. And people will, that appeals to people. So, anyway, there's a lot more going on in the situation than a cursory reading would give you otherwise in going over this particular passage. But with all this in play, now you can see how it's unfolding. You can see the plan, the thinking, at least to certain degrees, the pillars of thinking of what's going on here. So five, we know from verse 25 that it would take 3 days before the pain was revealed to be to actually be severe. On the third day, when they were in pain, that's when the assassinations occur. Basically, they're in enough pain that they've been debilitated in regards to unable to do anything to defend themselves. now from a race of men that has been practicing this now for some three generations, and adults have been circumcised, they would be aware of this. You know, Abraham and his servants, et cetera, the family, most of the males in his family were all adults when they first got circumcised. So they would be aware of this. But for a culture that doesn't practice these things, to them it's something new. And they would not be privy to exactly how it comes about. So six, along those lines in regards to validating this effect in regards to circumcision. Six, the Jerusalem Post is addressing the law, that's Mosaic law, and tradition of circumcision in response to our Genesis passage. Submits per Professor Michael Tall and Professor Marshall DeVore the medical reality as such, quote, it is true that the third day following tissue damage usually constitutes the peak of suffering. And this phenomenon was noted in Genesis. End quote. So it's not just some proposed fact. It's been studied out. Obviously, in our society, and as it's gone down through the custom of the Jewish race, the male child is circumcised after they're 8 days old, as young infants. And of course, now in our society, anesthesia is presented in numbing and things of this nature, so that the ordeal is not as painful as what might be in a more ancient society where those types of realities are not in place. And I give you the address there if you want to look it up for yourself, the web address. So seven, if Hamor and the Shechemites were unfamiliar with adult circumcision, the reader can see now having Shechem present could be misleading, supporting the contention it was tolerable. If they're not aware of that, Shechem seems to be doing fine. He's undergone the ritual. Okay. All right, so what you're proposing isn't going to incapacitate us, isn't going to be so severe that we can't go on with life. So eight, obviously there would be some pain already, but far from incapacitating. Not anything that puts you under. Make you immobile. Nine, on PubMed.gov, that's a government website, they submit a study on present-day circumcision just as a comparison. On adult patients under anesthesia, shows post-operative pain mild to moderate, even up to 21 days still. So any males out there that may get the tapes or otherwise or are thinking about doing this, well, here's just some information. You can expect a little pain, even with anesthesia in place. That's from the 2013 American Urological Association Education Research, Inc., published by Elsevier, Inc. Ten, as it is, Shechem's role is to downplay the severity of the ritual and in turn provide the role model of the heir to the throne that has already adopted this new religious rite. So now it makes sense what's going on here. It wasn't, if you all be circumcised, I mean, you got to think about this logically. If they can't get the rest of the males to be circumcised, then there's no go with Jacob and his family in regards to giving Dinah to them. So Shechem and Hamor has to have that in consideration before Shechem, obviously, is going to take the knife to himself. Or who they were going to take the knife to. The guillotine. So, you know, That has to be in their thinking. So father and son have basically colluded together, this plan is sold in regard to Shechem. I will be the initiate, and I can stand before them and say, hey, it's no big deal. And I can be presented a new religious rite we can put into our new culture. And Dad, you sell them with your political suaveness that you are so adept at in regards to these people. So that's how I see it coming down the pike. So 11, their capital here, the city of Shechem, is called their city. That's the third plural suffix. That emphasizes Hamor and Shechem city. Later on, we'll see reference to the men, the males, as the city being their city. So the capital is called their city, third plural suffix, illustrating the tandem power and influence father and son would have on their subjects in proposing this new idea. So 12, in other words, their proposal is for the good of the kingdom. And who wants to argue that? That's the idea. We have most interest in regards to the region as rulers. We wouldn't lead you wrong. We think this is the best thing that can possibly come about for us. It will advance everybody economically and otherwise. Our religious experience will have a fresh start, you know, whatever. Ideas that might be conjured up in regards to their thinking. So, it's their city. We know what's best. That's why we're the rulers, you know, that idea. So, 13, they haven't steered them wrong yet, obviously, by the situation as seen at hand. So 13, now the phrase, and spoke to the men, which is wa dabar el ish in the Hebrew. Has the verb spoke, again our verb dabar, in the plural, highlighting the collaborative effort of Hamor and son trying to convince the resident males. These little pieces of the language underscore the subtle things, the subtleties that I'm bringing out to you, that Hamor and son have collaborated in this whole idea. Hamor is basically the brains behind it. Shechem being the dupe, if you will, that is willing to push the whole agenda. So 14, now the sales pitch itself is then recorded in verses 21 and 23, with verse 22 inserting the needed requirement of circumcision. So you open it up with a promise of something good. Then you kind of lay out the requirement of what they'll have to undergo to get there. And then you end the whole sales presentation with the ultimate benefit that one can see in regards to actually going through with the plan. So 15, now the political ingenuity of Hamor shines through as he begins to spin the situation. These men are friendly with us. Ha'ish, ha'eleh. Ella, Shalem, Him, Eth. Politicians are notorious for spinning things. Salesmen are too, but we know in the world of politics how it is. So 16, now one thing we can notice here, throughout his spiel, he carefully avoids any mention of the son's crime and acts as if it never happened. Now, we know that in many of these pagan cultures that sexual crimes of this nature were often kind of looked at with a blind eye anyway. But it still doesn't determine ultimately how this situation might come out, as they are dealing with a, if you will, foreign people. One who is not of their own original culture, and what their idea of morality might be in this respect. So, to avoid mentioning the rape situation is imperative in Hamor's eyes. And he acts like it's never happened. 17, otherwise this might have caused people to balk at the idea and see the potential here for a trap. In other words, you don't bring up issues that might kill the deal. See, that's simple. Yeah, I want to sell you this car, but I'm sure as hell not going to tell you it's rusting out all over the place underneath or whatever. You know. Those are things you have to find out for yourself. There's a whole new meaning behind buyer beware as we're looking at this sales pitch on circumcision. So he avoids bringing to light an important detail with himself, convinced that there's no real issue. And on the end of the coin, he too thinks that Jacob and his son are sincere in regards to their proposal. In other words, throughout this, we see how the SCA blinds people in regards to the reality that this whole thing is a scheme, is a ploy by Jacob and his sons to set them up to be taken advantage of as a revenge tactic. So, 19, further, any suspicions otherwise from gossip surrounding the Shechem affair would be brushed aside as ineffective. There are some commentaries, some exegetes that are convinced that none of the city knew about the affair. I kind of find that hard to believe. I mean, this is royalty. It happened in the palace. News like that that spreads fast. Obviously, the news has reached Jacob and family's ears. So, you know, how much talk has been garnished, etc. This whole approach is designed to basically eliminate any suspicion one way or the other. If you don't know, I'm not going to bring it up. If you do know, it's not like what you might think it is. See, that whole situation. So 20, this is typical politics, not to address the entirety of truth, speaking only what they want people to hear. Like we wouldn't know that. If you want to hear, read good history in regards to politics, just go back and do some research and read books on Will Rogers. That guy knew politics, knew the stupidity, the deceitfulness of politics in a humorous way that is quite spectacular and is obvious, is these obvious things, you know. But anyway. They don't lay out the whole truth. They only pick their little pet ideas, and they try to avoid the rest of it. And they want to sell the people, let the people hear what they want to hear. It's not about appealing to good morals and good ethics and righteous virtues and righteous laws and things of this nature anymore. Oh, they'll throw a little bit of it in. They got to give it some flavor of being good. 21, Haymore's own lack of discernment here, the fact that he's falling for the plan itself, as to the deceitful nature of Jacob's sons, characterizes him to be the blind leading the blind in this situation. When you are ignorant of the truth of doctrine, or you revoke the idea of the truth, you operate under a human viewpoint, your own SCA, following your own lust pattern, then this is how you're going to deal with others. And as Jesus says to the religious leaders of his time, they're blind leading the blind. Doctrine gives you discernment. It gives you the insight to make a wise choice in regards to your life. It gives you the format of thinking that you can bounce all the other potential aspects out there, contingencies of life, and compare it to it to come up with the best approach, the best decision that you can make in regards to the situation at hand before God. Obviously, the blind leading the blind is essentially those who are negative to doctrine at whatever degree having influence over others who are negative to doctrine and do not hold doctrine important to their own lives. And you just find whatever area of weakness they have in the SCA and you just feed it. Oh yeah, sounds good. The pastor's too stringent on that doctrine. It's not what that doctrine means. You know, you hear it. The blind leading the blind. If the pastor's right, obviously. The ruler then, Hamor, comes off as benevolent. A kind, patient person. Therefore, as he states, therefore let them live in the land and trade in it. For behold, the land is large enough for them. While Yeshua bet el bet ha eretz, while Sakar et while ha eretz, hina rakav yad lamed paneh. So 23, now the insinuation here is that Hamor has been permitting Jacob's family to maintain their residency, quote, because he, Hamor, is so generous and that the real estate is vast enough to support their industry, end quotes. Again, you've got these people that have settled down. They bought a partial land some 7 years ago or so, as we've got it in our time frame. And obviously, Hamor is the ruler of the land. So he's permitted this. So in his proposal to the people, he is laying out the idea that I've allowed them to live here because of this very reason. And obviously, I'm a benevolent person. I'm peaceful. So, obviously, I extend, if you will, grace towards these people to go ahead and live here, then I know what grace is. I know what friendly is. So, you know, my words are true. All this plays into this. So, 23, again, the insinuation is that Hamor has been permitting Jacob's family to maintain their residence, quote, because he is so generous, Hamor, and that the real estate is vast enough to support their industry, end quote. 24, what they are the cabbage on the idea, quote, therefore, let all of us accept them, and our generosity will return in benefits from them, end quote. So 25, it is important to note that Hamor leaves out his proposal to Jacob and sons about them acquiring property in the offing. His initial proposal to Jacob and sons is live with us, verse 10, land will be open for you, live and trade in it, and acquire property in it. You become real estate owners, additional real estate owners in it. Share in the wealth and the economy of our society. But he leaves that out. He's making it one-sided, see. Feed the people what they want to hear to their benefit. Don't suggest anything that might otherwise have them turn around and walk off. So 26, this is another heads up for the reader that Hamor is playing fast and loose in the standard political style. He then appeals to a primary benefit looked for by any populace, that is, the availability of a large pool of sexual counterparts. This is the idea in the clause, let us take their daughters in marriage and give our daughters to them. Bath, Lakak, Lamed, Lamed, Ishishah, Baal, Bath, Nathan, Lamed. 29, obviously for the all-male audience, more women to choose from would stimulate their own libidos. Woohoo. Probably at the times I can remember getting on doctrine opportunity to witness to single men that I knew from job or whatever in regards to our church, the question most often asked, well, you got women to go to your church? Got any single women in your church? That is the first thing out of their mouths. It's not, exactly what you do at your church or anything like that. So, you know, that's how guys are, that run under their sin natures, that can't control their sin natures. 30, now the order of taking and giving here regarding their marriage, as Hamor says, take their daughters and then give their daughters, is reversed from the proposal of Jacob's sons, who offer their women first and then take for themselves. In verse 16, we will give our daughters and then we will take your daughters for ourselves. So here Hamor reverses that. Obviously, 31, this shift is intended to sell the idea that they had the greater advantage in the deal. Take, take, take. Then you feel like you can give back a little bit. See. In a society that dismisses the principle of right man, right woman, a variety of choice is the standard. If you don't have that principle as part of your frame of reference in your soul, that God has the right opposite number for you, your right soulmate in that regard, then the entire population is open as candidates for you. And obviously, that which would appeal to the SCA is the more the better. The more opportunities, the more availability, the better off we are. With doctrine, it's different. With doctrine, it's not going out and finding just anybody out there in this world to be your spouse that you're physically attracted to or professionally or any other cosmic fleshly reason in regards to why one might want to hook up with someone. No, it's about the spiritual realities. See? Just like separation is not about physical, it's about spiritual realities. And so it is in regards to unions. Unions is not about physical realities, it's about spiritual realities. Obviously, the physical may have some play in it and observance and recognition. Well, we understand that. But if the spiritual reality is not there, then that is not a potential candidate in the eyes of one who is otherwise positive. All right, well, I'll give us a little extra break time, let you out a couple minutes here, and we'll come back and finish this up.